Radio Pulpit, 657 AM, your daily companion.
Welcome, welcome, welcome back. Still broadcasting live from Mpumalanga, White River at the G20 Education Summit. And like I said, we're focusing on the future of this country. And starting off with the future of the country, the attention is more towards the little ones. And just discussing on the understanding of the role of early childhood care and education to improve the quality of foundational learning. This afternoon, our first speaker will be talking on global perspective. And our first speaker is Ms. Hannah Yashimoto, who is the Chief Education at UNICEF.
Before entering the international development industry, Hannah worked as a senior analyst for an American multinational investment called Goldman Sachs. She holds a BA in political science from Sophia University in Tokyo, a Master of Arts in International Education from the American University in Washington, D.C., and MBA from London School of Economics and Political Science, and an HEC in Paris and New York University through Trium Global Executive MBA program. Hannah, let's welcome her, as she is now coming to make a presentation, and I'm going to ask her that once you present, you remain on the stage. Yes.
Thank you so much for the introduction, Program Director. I am doomed to needing to present right after that intriguing performance, but I'll do my best. So I would like to share some information on the global trend of early childhood care and education. This is not my presentation, sorry for that. There we go. With UNICEF. Okay, let's see. Perfect, all right. Okay. So just as a quick, so I'm going to just talk a little bit more about the evidence with data, the situation of the global early childhood care and education and ECD, and some strategies to strengthen the ECCE. Okay. So the first priority, the reason why ECCE is a global priority is the fact that quality ECCE sets a strong foundation for learning. During this young, early children's age group, they are exposed to emergent literacy. Emergent literacies are those experiences and behaviors that they learn about the literacy before they actually start learning literacy, reading and writing formally. And this includes, for example, language comprehension, phonological awareness, print awareness, etc. And if you remember that knowledge and skills development is an incremental process, you start with emergent literacy, then the foundational literacy and numeracy, and then all the higher order learning comes after. So not unless you have that solid foundation, no matter how much you try later in your life and at school, it's not going to be as strong. Also, ECC makes education system more effective and efficient. You can easily imagine those in schools, grade one. If the learners are not, doesn't have any strong school readiness, some children can sit on their chair quietly, some cannot. Some may understand the numbers 1 to 10, some may not. Imagine grade 1 teacher needing to entertain them and teach them that has variety of capacity as grade 1 learner. That's why the initial school readiness that they can nurture, the learners can nurture during ECCE phase is so, so important. And it needs to be effective. If the teachers are so tied up just needing to manage the learners, they're not learning from grade one. Right from the beginning, the learning is not happening. then the whole delay of the learning continues until later in the grade. Thirdly, equitable education, early childhood care and education is a strategy for promoting inclusive economic growth and also for female participation in the labor market. It's not just about the academic and cognitive development. It's about the whole social skills, the life skills, the so-called 21st century core competencies. They start from the early childhood care and education age group. You cannot just all of a sudden, when the child is 15 years old, you start saying, oh, you need to be inclusive, you need to respect others, respect the differences among others. No, it doesn't happen that way. All those core skills start from young age at home when they were born. Economic exposure for the mothers who tend to leave labor market because they need to stay at home. Okay, just a little bit more on the purposes and the priorities. We learn from science and research that massive surge of neurons and synapse formation occur during this age group. Millions of neurological connections are formed per second, which is a pace never repeated ever in your life. Timing is critical, period, especially because by age 5, 90% of your brain is already formed with all these neurons. Of course, it doesn't mean that the genetics provide the blueprint, but it doesn't mean that the environment doesn't affect. The environment experiences shape how the blueprint will be built. The positive early experiences and interventions, I think we all here have met, or maybe you yourself, I'm definitely one of them, constantly suffer from self-confidence issues. No matter what I do, I'm still a little bit uncertain about myself. I think it's also going back to how I was raised. I was raised, born and raised in Japan, very strict parents who never really praised me. It's still haunting me. We have to have a positive discipline and positive early experiences. This is just the dissection of some of the key skills based on cognitive, language and literacy, physical, motor, social, emotional approaches of learning as well as creativity. But the key message here is that the social, cognitive and emotional, the core skills that the DBE is really trying to mainstream and implement within the national curriculum starts at this age group. At the global level, as we all know, we are all aiming for the SDG 4 for on education, but more specifically on 4.2 that talks about the equitable and quality early childhood development, care, and pre-primary education. When you look at the global picture, this is how the countries are doing on the SDG 4.2.2. South Africa is orange, which means there's significant challenges remain when it comes to having at least 1 year of pre-primary. But I think the government really has been pushing. It was also emphasized during the Lehotla this year and the year before how the grade R is really pushed to be mandatory. I think as a country, we all want to have a collective effort to move ourselves to the yellow age group, range, especially because we only have 5 more years until the year 2030. Equity dimensions, I think it's quite relevant, especially for the South Africa context, where richest children are 7 times more likely to attend ECCE. Mothers that are educated, that has a degree more than secondary education, tend to have 5 times more likelihood in sending their children to ECCE. Residents, in terms of the poor rural, children living in urban areas are 2.5 times more likely to attend ECCE. And in terms of the attendance, participation to ECCE, there's no gender differences. This is very much related to countries that are facing emergencies, conflict, and crisis. teacher shortages, same as South Africa, globally, and especially in the African continent, the teacher shortages really is a grave issue. Knowing that, especially in South Africa, also half the current teachers will retire by the 2030. But the goals for ECCE cannot be met without the personnel to teach and administer and supervise programs. Globally, there's a shortage. Knowing that there are attrition and also the new posts created, all in all, at least we need 6 million teachers, ECD practitioners, to universalize the 1 year pre-primary ahead of the primary enrollment by 2030. The poor conditions of the work, too much tasks, too much chores, the low salary, the deployment issues, the gender disparities, inadequate finances, all these are global trend, which I think also reflects here in South Africa and Mpumalanga. These are just additional information about the teachers, but you can see that when you look at different regions in the world, the lowest percentage of teachers that have the minimum qualification, unfortunately, is in sub-Saharan Africa. In terms of the income groups, clearly high income and low middle income has a higher minimum licensing of the ECD practitioners. But just keep in mind that South Africa, because of the huge inequity, the country is categorized as upper middle income country. If you look at upper middle income country, almost 90% of the teachers should have minimum requirement. But the fact is, South Africa is still on its way to achieve this. Only half, approximately half, have the minimum requirement. This, again, just in terms of how many, the percentage of the teachers having minimum requirement, all are actually negative except for sub-Saharan Africa region. The four strategies, this seems like a repeated message, but if you look at how to strengthen the workforce, there's just no way around avoiding these three key pillars, the pre-primary education, the pre-service training, the in-service training, and also the continuous professional development. These continue to be the three pillars. It's been talked for decades, but the fact is, the linkage between these three pillars are still weak in any country, including South Africa. The ECD practitioners in this country is still not part of the DBE Teachers Professional Development Scheme. We need to strengthen this, but of course it needs to be step by step. It's not a easy task for the DBE, but I know that they are heading to the right direction. This is just showing the pathways for how to strengthen the teachers as well as the learners. But just the key part is that there are a lot of elements, not just education, gender, health, nutrition, the social protection, the community, the social behavioral change. All these aspects need to be coordinated on the ground, led by the local administration to provide this holistic service that the children need. It's easier said than done. Working across different sectors is not easy, but that's what our children need. The third strategy, I'm talking about the governance strategies. As you can see here, we're talking about different aspects, whether it's about having a proper strategic plan or evaluation, the monitoring functions, the implementation, etc. I'm just putting it out there as something global, but I think it's quite relevant for South Africa because South Africa is so unique in how the national system works. It's so decentralized. As you heard my bio, I spent my last 10 years in the Arab states, highly, highly centralized. So if the president says do this, it's done. The military goes around different schools and they get it done. There's pros and cons to it. Because of the history, because of the structure, it's highly decentralized. But if you have those extra layers, certain things tend to take more time or tend to create that complexity that needs to be resolved. So I think the government stewardship of the ECCE is an area that needs to be also prioritized as we talk. The last bit is about the advocacy. I believe this Indaba is part of the advocacy to push ECCE for foundational literacy and numeracy and the foundational learning for skilling in the future. But just highlighting that there was a continental conference in November last year led by Africa Union. The Nouakchott Declaration really was a political high-level declaration to really find financial mechanism for sustainable development on education and skilling. These kind of work, which usually United Nations and UNICEF tend to be involved, we do try to tap into the policymakers and decision makers to secure funding for education. Thank you so much. The last bit is just a link to some of the resources. Thank you.
Be doers of the word with 657 AM Sounds of Life.
In today's rush world, there is limited time for yourself. Your cell phone, however, is with you all the time. So why not use it? Visit our Radio Pulpit website with your cell phone and restore your soul. There you can find out more about Radio Pulpit, download the Bible to your cell phone, read Word for Today, and you can listen to us online. Just visit www.radiopulpit.co.za, especially developed for your cell phone. Radio Pulpit, your daily companion.
When the drive gets long, we are there. Listen live to Radio Pulpit on radiopulpit.co.za, DSTV 882, and OpenView 607. Also follow us on our social media, download our app, and listen to our podcasts wherever you are. Radio Pulpit, still your daily companion.
You and 657 AM and Life, a winning team on the road to eternity.